This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn Nageek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 28th, episode 1748, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, that's right. It is Friday, everybody.
Did you play the wrong opener? What is that, from like 7 years ago?
I did. I was getting sick of the other one, so I dug out the one from like 7 years. That's when, I think that was when we first started.
I was like, what? Where am I? What year is
Twilight
it?
Twilight Zone.
What day is it?
Hey, you got a comment. Was it Wednesday we had the people on about the Icelandic horses, and they were up riding in Iceland, and you started making your major attempt at Icelandic horse names?
It wasn't an attempt, Glenn. It was very professional.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Well,
it's very accurate.
Apparently Diana thought so too, and she's from Sweden. She wrote, I laughed so hard I almost walked out into traffic when walking home from the stable listening to the butchering of the Icelandic horse names.
Butchering? I thought I had it nailed. She's Swedish. What does she know?
I used to ride a mare named... Blah, 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 blah. That stud name is so easy to get right. Here is another big part of... This is translation, so I think it's coming out a little weird. There's another big part of the Icelandic horse, and that's competition part, and I have had the luxury to ride those horses. In Sweden, the Icelandic horse will soon become the second most common horse breed after standardbreds, so very popular and many competitions. Did you know that?
I did not know that, and I don't know what does one do in an Icelandic competition? I need to know more, and
well,
we need to have her on the show.
Posted a video. There's no words to it, or I'd play it so you could hear them pronounce the names correctly. But it does show them doing almost everything any other competition does. So
I feel like my part of the show this week has been an amazing piece of journalism, Glenn, between getting the Icelandic horses' names right and then talking about all the people that were at Aachen. I feel like I've really branched out and touched the hearts of our listeners overseas.
Yeah, you've touched something. I love how she said butchering of Icelandic horse names.
Butchering.
Well, thank you, Diana. We appreciate you listening over in Sweden.
Thanks, Diana. It's like putting fuel in his gas tank, and he just keeps driving over me.
Hey, Denise, if you could find somebody from Iceland that speaks good English that could come on and pronounce some of the names for us correctly, that'd be terrific. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
You know what? Bring the Swedish lady on. Let her do it.
Yeah, Diana, you can come on anytime. You're welcome anytime. Our Swedish listeners are welcome on our show anytime.
I would love to actually have her on and talk about Icelandic horse shows. Like, I mean, is it like whoever tolts the fastest, you know, and all the, I don't know. It'd be kind of fun to learn about that.
So, well, I think they should bring us over to cover in person one of the Icelandic horse shows in Sweden. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do that.
Diana, if you can make that happen, that'd be great. We'll come on over and do our show from an Icelandic horse show in Sweden. We'd be happy to do that. And we could have a Swedish meetup. That'd be fun. Jennifer, what are we doing today? She fell asleep.
We are coming up on today's Kentucky Freestyle Friday edition. Starting things out, we've got the 2011 Dressage Hall of Fame inductee, Lennon Gray. Woo, a legend. She's going to stop by. And
are we sure she's on the right show,
helping.
By the way, Jennifer? Is she supposed to be here? Because
she might
did
not
you
know
guys,
his horses in the morning.
Did you book her for another? I mean, like, this is, you just said Lyndon Gray. Like, I woke up this morning late. I come in, I sit down, and I see that Lyndon Gray is on our show. And I'm like, excuse me, I need like 3 days to prepare for that. Not like 7 minutes in a sleep-induced haze. I thought, I was like rubbing my eyes. I was like, I do not see that name sitting there. This woman is a legend. And you just like throw her on my show.
Yeah, she might know which show she's coming on. I'm sure she doesn't. She probably thinks it's the dressage show.
She might think she's talking to Fox Sports or something.
Yeah, she's been on the dressage show like 10 times. So that's probably what she'll probably be shocked when she doesn't hear Reese and Phillip.
Yeah. Excuse me. Where's Reese? Is she here? She out today? She's sick? What's going on?
Anyway, we're looking forward to talking to Lyndon anyway. All right, Jennifer, continue.
And she's going to talk about making horse crazy kids into well-balanced horsemen and filling the ranks of junior dressage competitions everywhere. And then mid-show, Karen Isberg from Kentucky Performance Products has some pointers on keeping our senior horses happy and healthy. And at the finish, really bad ads, stomps into the ground the English language like an old fly mask. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And we have a very special guest. You guys are going to want to hear really bad ads today. All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Helena B., previous host of the Stable Scoop radio show. We did our final episode this week. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, hop on over there. Went a little long, for about an hour, 45 minutes long. But we played clips, we reminisced, we talked about some of the things that have happened because of Stable Scoop, which is pretty much everything on the network. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of clips from listeners, but she had a message that she, it's only a couple seconds long, but that she wanted to send out to everybody. Final words for everybody.
Thank you for tuning in for all of these years, especially to our long-term listeners. Sometimes you don't know what kind of impact you're having on the world, but I always say this, whatever it is you're feeling in your heart, share it with everybody you can, because if you share it with 100 people or 1,000 people, all it takes is one person to hear you and to feel good or supported or awakened by what it is you have to say. So if there's something that you have, don't be afraid to share it. Just make sure that you share it with kindness and with authenticity.
There you go. That was a message from Helena, and you can hear the rest of that episode. Just head over to stablescoop.com or on your app. You'll find it there.
That was like a lecture from Helena.
Well, you know, we had just listened to like 20 voicemails from listeners, and we were like, we had the tissues, and that was one of the last things. So your turn. Sorry, lost track of where I was there.
Well, a couple things. We'll talk about it later if you want. But Precious Magic Gallop Jennings went on her first trail ride yesterday.
That
was such a proud mama.
Yeah, she
was really, really good. Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you when I'm talking, Glenn. So anyway, I don't know if that's a sound thing. But anyway, I wanted to tell you that they have released the list. There's five Americans who are going to go compete at the Burley Horse Trials. Or sorry, six entered for the Burley Horse Trials. And to me, Burley to me is like badminton to the rest. I don't know. I just think Burley is like kind of a bucket list thing I'd like to go see. So this year, Hannah Sue Burnett, Lillian Hurd, Lauren Kiefer, Boyd Martin, McKenna Shea, and Lynn Samansky are all competing at Burley. And I actually, if Elisa Wallace was going to compete, my girlfriend and I were going to go. We're like, we have to go. If Elise is competing, we're going to go. But I think after her badminton drama, I don't think she's going to compete there. So sadly, I did not see her name on the list. So I'll have to wait to go to Burley until next year.
I haven't heard much about her recently.
Elisa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's been competing her Mustangs at a lot of horse trials. So she's been pretty busy. I mean, you talk to her husband all the time.
I actually haven't. He wasn't. He's busy too. So we had Joseph on the Horse Husbands episode yesterday, which I noticed that some of our listeners, female listeners, illegally listened to. I did see that they might have listened.
No.
Yes.
They couldn't. They possibly.
Did. Here, let me drop you off the call and bring you back, and hopefully your sound will clear up.
It's your fault.
It's all my fault. While we're trying to get Jamie back, I do have an app that I wanted to tell you all about that I saw this morning, and it is called Leela Kids, and it's now available on iTunes and all the usual podcast places. It's a podcast app. I guess you find this in the App Store, actually. It's a podcast app for kids, and what they say here is, feeling guilty of handing your phone to your kids to watch videos? Well, no more. Use Leela Kids instead to have your kid hear the best content on topics they care about. We have done the hard work of collecting the best episodes from different podcasts based on your kid's age group and topics of interest. So what they did is went out and they took episodes off of podcasts that are already out there that they think that are safe for kids. And they do stories and science and space and dinosaurs and things that kids are interested in. So you can get kids listening to podcasts early through this app called Leela Kids.
You scared me for a second there because I came in about halfway through and I thought you were going to say that our show is on a kids app.
No.
And I was going to get really nervous that I'm too inappropriate for a child's app.
No, it's not. Don't have to worry about that.
Oh, my gosh. I just had a...
No, not
went white.
Not happening. So tell me a little bit more about your adventure while we're waiting for Lyndon to come on. So you took your pony, whatever the four names are, out for her first trail ride, and you videoed it. So obviously the pony wasn't bucking and carrying on.
She was really good. So, you know, I ponied her along with when I was riding Zeus. So I feel like I've kind of given her a lot of good prep for something like this. But she has had a lot of kind of background, you know, underlying training. So when I take her in the arena, she's not so super excited to go. She's really kind of lazy, which is great. Or I don't know if it's lazy or balky. She's like, won't move. So I thought, I'll take her out on the trail. So I had trusty Thor in the front and my dear friend Shannon and her 25-year-old trusty C Dollar behind me. And we went out on the trail. And I didn't know how far we would get because I thought if we go out the gate and she's good and we look around a little bit, we can go back in. But she just kind of ambled along like a professional. She had one major spook. We saw cows. We saw sheep, we saw goats, we saw everything. I mean, dogs like running up against a fence, which doesn't ever bother me until you're on a horse who's like getting ridden for the fourth or fifth time. So
we have those here too. And you know which ones are the worst? The ones that bark when they're running, aren't the horses can deal with that. But the ones that don't and then hit the fence without saying a word.
The sneak attack, I call it. Yeah, those are terrible. So I was really... surprised she did not react to any of the dogs. The only major giant spook she had is coming the way that I go out. You can go out the back in between all the properties is an irrigation road. And so basically we just ride in people's backyards. On the left is a backyard and everybody's houses are 2 acres. Somebody's house is way far away. And then the backyards are on the right. So we're walking along, no big deal. Everything's great. Sometimes dogs come out. Everybody you see all their animals in their backyard. But this woman like walks out and she like goes to fling a tarp into the air, like shake out the tarp. And it starts to, oh my God. It was not just me. I mean, Thor is unflappable. Dollar is unflappable. All three of them were like, peace out. Gone. Whoosh. And so even though Magic was in the middle of these unflappable guys, that was too much. So of all the things to look at, she spooked at the human. So, which I can't blame her, but I was like, whoa. And thank God I got that Monty Roberts saddle. Chad got it for me for my birthday. And it's like an extra.
Oh, did we lose Jamie? Up there. You're back. No, you're back.
Yeah. Okay. No, there's a giant handle on the front of it, so you can hold on. So I kind of had the reins in my right hand because I wanted to keep a nice soft rein, and I had the handle in my left hand. Thank God, because there's not much seat on that saddle. But she was really good. I was really pleased. And at one point, I had to dismount because part of it's on the road, and she's barefoot, and that's where Thor spooked and fell and broke my foot. So now I just get off and lead the horses. And I thought, I'll just see if I can get back on you. And the first time I mounted her from the ground, it was awesome.
She's put her in like a ditch, 12 hands.
She's like 12 too. She's huge. She's a monster.
All right, let's go to our guest.
Zara's bigger than her now.
I am so excited to have our next guest on. She's one of the legends in the dressage world. She's an Olympian. She's been on the dressage show here on the Horse Radio Network many times, but this is the first time that she's been over here on Horses in the Morning, and we want to welcome Lendon Gray. Hi, Lendon. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
You know, we've had you on the other shows to talk about dressage for kids and some of the work you're doing over there, but not on this show. You know, this show has listeners around the world, and they're in all facets of the horse world, including some in dressage. And I just think it would be good for them to get to know your program a little bit and to get more people interested that maybe thought they wouldn't have been before.
Okay, sounds good.
Now, so tell us about the program. How did it start? What's it do?
Well, in 1998, as I was doing a lot of teaching of people, young people going for, particularly, for example, to the North American Young Rider Championships, I was becoming concerned that kids were being taught to ride this particular horse in this particular test, and that was about the extent of their education. And I have a very strong pony club background. So I kept thinking, what can we do to broaden the education beyond just, you know, riding the horse in this test. So the idea was to offer a show where, yes, there was a dressage test where, of course, your horse counts some, a lot. And then there would be a group equitation class, which, of course, is judged on the rider, and the horse counts very little. And the emphasis is on the rider's seat and position and use of aids something every kid can work on, no matter what horse they have. And then the third part had nothing to do with the horse, which was a written test on assigned reading. Every year there's a different theory book and some stable management reading that they have to do, and they have a written test on that. So in 1999, we had our very first what's now called the Youth Dressage Festival. And that's been going strong every year. Last year we had 330 kids here in the New York area, and then there are two other festivals, one in Michigan and one in the Atlanta area. And then that got started, and we had a committee, and we were paying attention to the kids, and then it basically, Dressage for Kids then started filling in the blanks. What can we do for the young people to help educate them? We're very much education-oriented. Started, yes, with a show, but a show with a strong educational component. And now we have branched out into doing clinics. We have what we call the TEAM program, which is training, education, and mentoring. We'll reach almost 300 kids all over the United States with that program. We do a winter program, a weekend of lectures. This is in Connecticut, and this is covers everything that, or anything that has anything to do with horses. So it's, you know, judging, it's stable management, it might be sports psychology, nutrition, fitness. We have lectures. We have about five lectures going on at a time for 2 days, and that's for everybody. I mean, that is not dressage oriented. It is for absolutely everybody. And probably the best thing that I've done as far as really making an impact, we call the Winter Intensive Training Program. And I have 14 or 15 kids that come to Wellington, Florida. These are all young dressage riders. And again, from all over the country. And they're there for 3 months. They have a lesson 5 days a week. They're watched in the stable all the time. There's a lecture 6 days a week, fitness work 6 days a week. We take some field trips to other stables. But with that, we can really make a difference in someone's lives. And I'm proud to say we really, really have been able to do that.
I would absolutely have killed to do this when I was a teenager or a kid. Oh my gosh, why wasn't this around? I'm just too old.
Well, it's called the Winter Intensive Training Program, and it is intensive, but as you know, it fills in the blanks that a lot of kids aren't able to get in their education at home. And then one other thing, that we are now a 501c3, a nonprofit. So first of all, any profit that we do make goes towards scholarships for education, equestrian education. It can be lessons, it can be clinics, it can be, we've actually helped to fund the research for 3 college theses, interestingly enough. And the only prerequisite is that the kid has to have participated in one of our programs. They can, for example, have ridden in the show and been dead last. That's fine. They just have to have participated. And then the last thing that's kind of become fairly big with Dressage for Kids, because we're a nonprofit, we have sometimes horses donated to us. And we can only accept a horse if we can find the child that will, the kid that will lease it with a contract that they will keep the horse forever, just as if they've bought it, unless we've agreed to pass it on. And we've been able to, we've had some wonderful horses, lower level horses. We've had 2, I love it, that have taken 5 different kids. You know, they start with a kid and get it up to the horse's level, and then they're passed on to another one. And they've gone on to 5 different kids. But also on the other end of the spectrum, we've had some fabulous Grand Prix horses that have been given to us, that have given some of our more advanced riders some unbelievable opportunities. So yeah, that's kind of what we do. We fill in the blanks.
That's every kid's dream, right?
I mean, it's really exciting that we're able to help out some kids in a really big way.
I got to ask, Lyndon, do these kids that get to work with you, do they know who you are? I mean, do they know what you have done in the dressage world?
Do you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? I would say that all the time. We'd be like, clean that stall. Don't you know who I am?
That's funny. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, I think at this point, I'm the person that runs Dressage for Kids. And that's fine. As long as we can get them into learning more, that's absolutely fine.
So there's not funny. Like a sign on the wall. Like when they sign up for this, they have to be like, I would put a sheet in there. You know, you've got a release form, you've got the application, and then you've got a bio of you and you pictures of you and seldom seen. And then like you have to like initial each page that you look at to realize what a big deal your instructor is.
Well, I love the fact that you mentioned seldom seen, because in my day, even though I was on 2 Olympic teams and did all that fancy dancy stuff, I was much better known for riding seldom seen. You know, he was one of the 2 ponies that I did so well with, as opposed to being an Olympian. You know, that was secondary to being the rider of seldom seen.
And, oh my gosh!
And you say pony. I think for the people of the younger generation that don't know what we're talking about, seldom seen, in fact, was a pony, right?
Well, actually, legally, he was about a millimeter bigger than a pony.
Depends on whether you're slouching that day.
I wouldn't have been able to ride him in the international arena if he had been a pony. But I also wonder that with the much better and more accurate measuring that they do today, if he would have been a pony, actually. I don't know. He was as small as you could get and not be a pony.
Lyndon, that's when you pull the shoes and then you have your farrier come out.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
You know, a little shorter. So
yeah, we didn't want him to be a pony, because then I couldn't have ridden him in the international shows.
Gotcha. So. Okay. Yeah. Put those shoes on, stack them up. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever you need.
Put those shoes on, make them thick.
Yeah.
Now, of course, for those who don't know, seldom seen was a thoroughbred Connemara that you took to Grand Prix, right? Which is just not possible.
Yes.
It just doesn't seem possible. And you made it
well,
possible.
He started as a little event horse for the lady for whom I rode, Peggy Whitehurst. I rode for her for about 28 years. And it just started kind of by accident, and I never had any plan. And matter of fact, people told me this was sort of the beginning when I was becoming a well-known rider, and people would say, "Oh, you shouldn't ride that pony. He's going to ruin your reputation." And Mike Poulin, the man with whom I trained for a long time, was about the only person that believed in us. And every year it was kind of like, well, this is as far as he can go, you know, third level and then fourth level and then pre-St. George. And, you know, we just kept doing the best we could do. And the next thing I knew, he was Grand Prix. And then the next thing I knew, he was making all the top horses in the country, all their riders, nervous. Because it was a little embarrassing to be beaten by that pony.
That's funny.
We loved it.
It's just amazing and awesome. And then tell everybody a little bit about the horses you rode in the Olympic Games.
Well, it's sort of an interesting story. I had no, you know, I'm a kid from Maine that just did my thing and did pony club and some eventing, and then by accident got into dressage. And had no, you know, everybody dreams of going to the Olympics. I didn't. I knew it was just a ridiculous idea. But it started, I was in Alabama working for Peggy Whitehurst, not exactly the center of the horse world. we had a clinic, and over supper one night, you know, the kind of Saturday night pizza, we're all sitting around talking. And this is in 1977. And when the Europeans were, you know, everything had to be European. That was getting stronger and stronger. You know, you had to have European training and horses and everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was talking about, but I said something to the effect of, "Oh, I think it's a shame. Everything has to be German. We Americans have to believe in ourselves, blah, blah, blah." You know, I was just talking. And about 5 months later, I got a call from one of the people who had been there, a man named Jeff Sutton from Tennessee, who told me his brother Mike had just died very unexpectedly, and would I be interested in his Grand Prix horse, as long the agreement being that I would try out for the World Championships that year. Well, I'd never been on a Grand Prix horse. I had ridden very mediocre pre-St. George, and but I didn't know you couldn't do it that quickly. So to make a long story short, I said, sure. I got Beppo, that had been trained by Mike Sutton. He was out of an Army remount mare by a very low-level Holsteiner stallion. And Mike was the reason the brother Jeff thought of me was Mike was very proud of the fact that he was riding an American-bred horse and he was American-trained. And so that kind of brought brought me to his mind because I had said about, you know, we should do it American, and Jeff had checked me out with our team coach and everything. So anyway, that was Beppo, whom I got in the 1st of February, went home in April to work with Mike Poulin, did my first Grand Prix in May, did the trials for the World Championships in June, and July I was in Europe competing for the U.S.
That's unbelievable.
2 years later, we made the 1980 Olympic team. And then my dressage career kind of took off, and I was doing this and that. And I, with seldom seen, because there was so much prejudice against him from the powers that be, Peggy Whitehurst and I raised money, and we took him to Europe because everybody said, oh, you know, big international competition, nobody will take him seriously. Well, right. They took him very seriously over there. We actually scored higher over there than I did in this country. But during that trip, I went to train for a short time with Herbert Rabine, who was just an amazing trainer. I mean, he was the trainer of the superstars at the time. And while I was there for this short period of time, this horse came in to be sold. And his backstory was he was out of a draft mare who actually worked for a living. And by another unknown Holsteiner stallion called Lester, highly impressive horse. And for whatever reason, he had been sent to slaughter as a 2-year-old. And he had been sent to the person who did this, and he was thrown out in the pasture for the time being, and the guy had a neighbor who was into jumpers, and here was this perfectly sound, healthy young horse, and he was able to sell him to the neighbor for more money than he would have gotten by slaughtering him. And he went on to do a small jumping career, and this man was a friend of Herbert Rabine's, and the guy, for whatever reason, wanted it. Well, he was selling him because he wasn't that great a jumper. So Herbert took him on to do a little quick training and sell him. And he was there when I was there, and he was this great big kind of heavy horse. He had these great huge lips that bounced when he moved. I was absolutely fascinated by them. I fell in love with him. I wasn't looking for a horse. I couldn't afford a horse. I called my dad. He helped me get a loan.
Daddy,
and I didn't
please.
Even vet him because, yeah, he had a big hind leg. I didn't want to know what was wrong. He was sound. So I didn't vet him.
I'm glad to see that higher level people are the same way we are.
I mean, everything that you want to do. And that was later on. His name was later on because when the first man bought him, he said, you know, later on, you just watch later on, he's going to be something. And I called him Fat Lips. He was my second Olympic horse.
That's
unbelievable. Okay, can I just tell Olympic you? Team.
How much more I love you now that I know that you're like, I love him. I don't want to vet him. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm going to buy him anyway. And daddy, daddy, I need a horse.
Oh, dear. Well, I was just incredibly lucky at having the, I mean, I never had, neither of these horses were superstars. You know, I was sort of the number four, number three, number four rider on the team. We were kind of the ones that, you know, you knew would go in and they wouldn't do anything awful. They weren't going to be superstars, but they were just good old boys and wonderful horses, just wonderful characters.
That's
now. Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you two questions. One is, what are you most excited about in the world of dressage right now, and what are you most concerned about? Maybe start with concerned first, end with the positive.
I'm concerned a little bit that as dressage gets better and better and the horses get better and better, and in some cases the training gets better and better, that it's becoming such an expensive sport. The thing that I love about dressage, as I said, I never wanted to go to the, you know, the competition. I think I was a really good competitor because I didn't care that much about competing. I loved the training. And I was known as the person, you know, if nobody else will ride it, send it to London, she'll ride anything. Because I love just taking any horse and making it better. And I could easily not have competed. You needed to compete to keep yourself kind of honest and make sure you're not forgetting something. But I love the training, and there's now such an emphasis on competing, and as soon as you put the emphasis on competing, you're looking at a very expensive sport. And I hope that people aren't discouraged from getting into the training of their horses in this manner because of the expense. And to go to the high levels, it really is. The horse, the training, the travel, all of that is very, very expensive.
Wow, this sounds like the same conversation they're having over in the jumper world right now. I mean, with that article in the Chronicle and that, you know, all of that. I'm sure you saw it. And it's the same conversation, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I imagine it's with most competitive. Well, competitive anything. I mean, look at the pressure put on the kids that play lacrosse and soccer and, you know, everything. Everything is so competition. Let's win this so we can go to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work with so many kids and to go to the North American Championships, you know, there's this desperation. If I don't make the North American team, I'm nobody. And that's not the case at all. You know, if you're lucky enough to have the horse and have the training and have the finances and have the parental support, yeah, it's a great thing to do. But, you know, there's lots of other things to do, too.
Right.
All right.
Let's, like, go to your camp. Yeah. Massage for kids.
Yeah. Like, enjoy your horse. So what?
Yeah. Exactly.
So what's the let's leave on the positive. What's the thing that excites you the most about dressage right now?
Well, I travel around the country doing these team clinics, dressage for kids team clinics, and the thing that's fun about these clinics is I have every level. I'll have, you know, within one clinic, I'll have somebody doing Grand Prix, and I'll have a 6-year-old. And it's so exciting to see some of these really young kids getting excited about really riding well and training their horses. And, you know, some tremendous talent. And that, you know, as someone who works with kids almost exclusively, that's really exciting to me to see young kids really getting excited about riding the best they can. So,
and
that's my thing.
Now, I first of all, you said you work almost exclusively with kids, which I now have a little pony that maybe I could sneak in to dressage for kids. Glenn, do you think that'd be okay?
Yeah, he's about 12 and a half hands and really cute.
There we go.
And then I also realized, like, I have a filly that is 6 months old, and I would like to start her with you. So if you could just figure out a time for me in about 3 years to come on out. It'd be great because what I've been reading is all about your methods and your, the way that you do it is the first thing you say to a new rider is prove to me you can ride on a loose rein. And that is exactly what I say to all students. Sorry.
I say, do nothing, be able to do nothing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you do have a book. Just I want to tell everybody, Lessons with Lyndon, 25 progressive dressage lessons take you from basic woe and go to your first competition. Well, I just put it in my Amazon cart, okay, because I need that really bad. So there is a way to train with you if you don't have Lyndon in your backyard or you're not a child. So do definitely check that out. Do you have a website that you would like
to? No, I don't.
Okay, we've got dressageforkids.org,
but I don't personally have a website.
Yeah, it is dressageforkids.org, and it's the number 4, dressageforkids, the number 4.org is the website where everybody can go check it out. Lyndon, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate this, and it's been
absolutely
fun.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Right. My day has been made. I mean, to get to talk to you and get to hear your stories about the kind of how you got the horses, it was just amazing. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about dressage for kids, but also talking a little bit more about other stuff. So we appreciate it. And I love you. And I'm buying your book right now.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lyndon. Isn't she neat?
Oh my gosh, I love her. I love her more now. I mean, I loved her before, but now, I mean, you never know when you're going to talk to like a legitimate Olympian that's a legend, how it's going to go. And I was so nervous when I woke up, I told you, like, that went great. She's awesome.
It's interesting because she brought up what her negative was and, you know, about the cost and spiraling out of control. And it was just what we were talking about before the show, the Chronicle article and about the jumping world having the same problem and the rich kids are buying the horses, but that they can't really ride. And, you know, it's interesting to see that's cross discipline. It's not just jumpers.
It's not just that. I mean, it's every sport, like she was saying. I mean, my gosh, my friend's kids, she mentioned lacrosse. Oh my gosh, that all they do is travel the country and they're like 12. Yeah, and playing these games.
You're right. It's that way for baseball and, kids' baseball and just leagues and all that stuff. Soccer, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Except that
it's not just us.
You have to take care of the horse. It's a lot more expensive than inflating a ball, you know, so that's where the extra comes in.
I remember one parent was like, I just had to spend $150 buying the baseball bag, okay? $150 to get a bag to put his stuff in. I was like, oh, honey, Let me give you a hug. I feel so bad for you. Hold on. Let me go get my $2,000 saddle that I had to have.
Yeah, my stirrups cost more than your bat.
Let me put this into perspective for you. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's head over to Kentucky Performance Products. We have a special. I did a series a long time ago, and there were a couple people recently asking us, listeners asking us, for more information about senior horses. And I did this series a long time ago. I think when we first started this show with Karen at Kentucky Performance Products about senior horses. So I thought we'd replay this. This is part one of that. We'll have part two next week. And then we're coming back. We have a very special guest to help us with really bad ads. More coming up on today's show. Hi, Glenn the Geek here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products with a sensible supplementing tip of the week. Karen, this week we're talking about senior horses, and actually this is a two-parter. We're going to talk about senior horses this week that cannot keep weight on, have trouble maintaining weight, and next week we're going to talk about the ones who don't have any trouble keeping weight on. That'd be like me. I don't have any trouble with that at all. So what are we? Why do horses, especially seniors, have trouble maintaining weight?
Well, senior horses are horses that are, 18 years of age or older, and that may change after a while because, we're doing such a good job of keeping our horses healthy these days, but they're just living longer and longer all the time. It used to be you never heard about a 30-year-old horse, and now it's becoming the norm. So it's really important that, we have some ways to keep these horses going and as they get older so that they don't have to just all turn into pasture ornaments. One of the big problems with an older horse that may be losing weight is they have a reduced ability to absorb nutrients from the diet. And that can be caused from, a lifetime of exposure to parasites or just any kind of damaging event to the gastrointestinal tract. And even with the stringent deworming schedules and things we have, there usually still is some damage from parasites. So that's something that may cause a horse to stop losing weight. But also sometimes they'll have less of an appetite. So you need to keep their appetite stimulated. The first thing I want to say is if you have a horse that's losing weight, the first thing you need to do is get your vet involved and get your horse completely checked out. Make sure there isn't some underlying problem for them that could be fixed medically. And also you should have a dentist come and check your horse's teeth. We talk to a lot of people on the phone, and most people are really aware of having an equine dentist routinely, but there are some people that have never thought about it. So it's important to get their teeth checked. Sometimes if you have a horse that's losing weight, it's just because they can't chew well enough. And if you get your equine dentist in and they fix those hooks and flatten out any spots where the teeth aren't coming together properly, that will solve your problem.
Okay.
So those are two of the main things you should look at right away, even before you start thinking about supplements. The second thing that you need to do is make sure that your horse is getting enough high-quality fiber. And again, a lot of people, don't understand that a horse needs 1.5 to 2% of their body weight a day in hay. And 1% of that should be in some kind of long-stemmed fiber, either hay or pasture. So if you have a 1,000-pound horse, that's 20 pounds of hay. So 10 pounds of that could be in grass, and 10 pounds of that could be in hay. Well, it wouldn't be 10 pounds in grass. It would be 10 pounds of grass equivalent of dry matter. So that would be a lot of grass. That would be, half a day of grazing on a really good pasture. But you want to be sure that they have plenty of good fiber. That keeps their digestive tract healthy. And it keeps the microorganisms in their digestive tract healthy. And if the digestive tract tissues and microorganisms are healthy, then the horse will be able to absorb the maximum amount from their diet. So something that we always suggest for older horses, besides a hay and some kind of a concentrate, a good senior feed fed at the recommended level would be appropriate. And, of course, electrolytes for senior horses. The other thing that you can do if you have a horse that's losing weight and you've had it checked and you know there's nothing medically wrong is to feed it a high-fat supplement. It has a lot more energy in it than your typical grains, cereal grains, almost two times as much, so that you can feed less in a meal and get more energy out of it, which is what you want to do when you have a horse that's hard to keep weight on. You certainly don't want to throw so much grain at him that grain causes grain overload, which can be very damaging to the hindgut and can cause colic and laminitis. So a high-fat product will allow you to feed less so you can keep your meals smaller, and it has more calories per pound so that you can get more energy into your horse.
For example, Karen, what products would we be looking at?
Well, we have two different products that we have as high-fat products. One is Equijoule, which is a high-fat stabilized rice bran. And something that you want to think about when you're looking at a fat supplement is you want to turn around and look at the guaranteed analysis and see how much fat is offered in that product. The Equijoule product is 20% fat, and you have to feed 1 to 2 pounds a day is the recommended dose. It's a rice bran that is balanced for calcium and phosphorus, and rice bran typically is high in phosphorus, and so you wouldn't want to feed it unless there was some kind of a calcium source added to it that balances that calcium and phosphorus ratio so that you don't have any mineral imbalances with it. So that's one that you can feed. That would be for a horse that you just, you know, he was kind of a hard keeper. You wanted to reduce the amount of grain, and you wanted to give him just a nice fat supplement to add some extra energy. We have another product called Endure Extra. Now, this product is 50% fat.
Oh, wow.
And you only have to feed 8 ounces a day. So this product is for your real picky eaters. For horses that, you know, you really need to put the weight on them, this product has a lot of energy in it. It also has some added flax, so you're getting some omega-3s in there. And it also has 1,000 IUs of natural vitamin E, which is very important for horses that are stressed because it helps the immune system. And we put some probiotics in there as well that will, again, help the digestive tract to process the feed better. So if you have a horse that you're really having a lot of trouble with that's very skinny, or that you're working really hard, or a much older horse that's stressed due to illness, this product is a really nice product for that.
So the two products with Kentucky Performance Products are Equijoule and Endure Extra. If you're looking to put weight on your seniors, they're having trouble to keeping weight on, that's one way to do it. You can find all of Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. And they have an excellent article over there, too, called Choosing Supplements for Senior Horses That Have Trouble Maintaining Weight. Next week, we'll be back talking about the ones who don't have any trouble maintaining weight and they're going into their senior years and maybe are getting a little too chunky. So we'll talk about those next week.
Well, we're back here on Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. Jamie Jennings will be back as soon as she gets her computer back up and running. She was having sound issues this morning. And we're very happy that we got to talk to Lyndon Gray. We have really bad ads coming up in a few minutes, and we have a very special guest helping us with that as well. I think what we're going to do while we're trying to get Jamie back up here is we're going to play you a song. I have to get one loaded up here for a second. I wanted to mention, though, that next week we are going to be announcing the Equestrians Got Talent information. So if you have any talent at all, or no talent at all, doesn't matter. Look at us. We have no talent at all. And we're here every time. So if you have talent and you want to get on Equestrians Got Talent, whether it's singing or reading poetry or riding your horse while screaming at the top of your lungs, I don't know, whatever it is, we don't care. As long as it counts like talent of some sort. Think of Gong Show meets America, you know, American Idol or America's Got Talent, somewhere in the middle there. And we're going to play some of those each week on the Stable Scoop Show, and we're going to have you, the listeners, vote for them. So we're going to be doing that all in the month of August here on Stable Scoop as we're transitioning Stable Scoop over to its new show. So new format. So look for those those details next week on the show. We'll make sure that we get all that information out to you. Let's listen to a little Tempe. We'll be back, hopefully with Jamie and everybody, and we'll do some really bad ads.
She could have passed for a cowboy the way she carried herself, and that 50 pounds of leather put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, and we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come a time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get rattled, sit deep in the saddle, hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. I remember what she told me, it's as clear as a bell as it was on that morning. It was kind of like a blessing and a warning. I've carried all this time, it on to my daughter. She loads up her car, heads out of the driveway. She'll have had enough of doing things my way. It'll be her turn to fly, and I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get rattled, sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight. Never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. And ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. Yeah, yeah, now don't be in a hurry, you're feeling when you hit your stride. Sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. Don't you ever ride faster than your guardian angel can fly.
That is Templeton Thompson, Guardian Angel. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by our friends over at Kentucky Performance Products. And I have a special guest. Am I cool to bring her on, Glenn?
Yes, you are.
Because we had some news. We had some issues on Wednesday with, I just thought that they should know, the girls from Heels Down, whether Michael Young was single or not, and they didn't know. So I said, world, Google it, and somebody get back to me. And somebody did. So Gemma, good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Now, so Gemma has the full report, which is probably about 10 seconds long. The full report on the question of the week, which is Michael Young, single, married, dating, have kids, any of that stuff. So Gemma, give it to us.
Okay, so I went full investigative journalist. I went on the ground. I went undercover. I paid people off, talked to Deep Throat. And Miko Young does have a girl. Her name is Faye Fugreba, and she's an inventor too, but she also has her own physiotherapy business. So that's the scoop.
How long have they been together?
I couldn't find that. It's kind of, you know, digging through German social media pages is a little difficult. But
it, a couple years, though, because I think you said that one article was from a couple years ago, but then you found out they were still together. Because that was the thing. It was like, here's his girlfriend from 4 years ago. And then somebody else was like, are they still together? And then you're like, well, let me find out. Then you paid off some people and you found out they were still together.
Yes. If you go to her Insta page, there's lots of pictures of her when Miko Young, and they're pretty recent. So I would say that they're probably still together.
Okay.
And she's good looking, by the way, just throwing it in there for all you guys listening out there.
She's tall and skinny and blonde probably and whatever. That's good investigative journalism. Now, before we let you go, I was wondering if you would stay on with us, and I want you to do a really bad ads takeover. I think that Glenn should no longer get to do ads today since you're on, and will you do his ads?
I would be honored.
Okay.
Glenn, I've been kicked out. I'm out of here. I'm leaving for the weekend.
Yeah. See you later. No, you have to be on because you have to realize how good she is at this and you have to hear it. So what I would like to, did you send all of the ads to Gemma?
Yes, we did. And Gemma, you'll be doing the blue ones. Okay. So, because I normally do the blue ones. Apparently, I'm not doing the blue ones today because
you're not doing the blue ones today. She's here. So before we get to that, we've got to give away some prizes, I believe.
Well,
we're
actually going to give away the prizes next week, but we're going to tell you what they are right after this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we do really bad ads. This is the segment where listeners find really bad Craigslist ads or Facebook ads, and they send them in to us, and we have a little bit of fun with them. Gemma is a regular contributor. She's been sending in ads for a long time. She and Scott probably are the two favorites of everybody out there. They're just hands down the ones everybody wants to hear from every week. And we give away prizes. We'll be giving these away next week and introducing some new ones. So, Jennifer, tell us what the prizes are.
This month's prizes are, first up, a $50 gift card from Kelly Hurd Jewelry. Kelly Hurd Jewelry is the place to go for fine yellow gold, white gold, sterling silver, and platinum equestrian jewelry. Beautifully crafted settings with gemstones, diamonds, or pearls are available to satisfy your need for sparkle. And each piece is finely crafted with meticulous attention to detail. You can choose from Kelly Hurd's wide selection of finished pieces, or you can design your own and know that you're getting the best. Kelly Hurd Jewelry can be found at fine equestrian retailers all over the country and online at kellyhurdjewelry.com. And our other prize this month needs no introduction. It's a box of crap from Glenn's Closet.
Yay! Get the crap out of my closet. So happy about that. So, Gemma, before we get started, you're not on speaker or Bluetooth, right?
Nope.
Okay. Yep. Just use your outdoor voice. You were a little bit quiet there. All right.
Use your big girl voice.
That's right.
Okay. Your big girl voice.
Gemma, I gave you the first one. Or actually, Jamie gave you the first one.
Yeah.
Hey, is this better? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So the first one is from Kelly Portner. And my little niece would just love this pony because she's obsessed with the movie Trolls. So here we go. Meet our Princess Poppy. She was born on full date, was February 19th, 2017, and is now old enough to go out on her own. Poppy is, calls her broken leaves, sweet and healthy, cute as a bug, a pony baby, should mature between 12 hands and 12.5 hands. It's friendly, stands tight, and hauls in a trailer. Recently wormed, hooves trimmed first time. Poppy is not a big horse that needs to grow, don't ask. Pregnant or bred, don't ask. Broke to ride at this age, but somebody will ask. Bomb proof, and we don't throw bombs or firecrackers at her, don't ask. Cribber, kicker, rearer, biter, or any other weird vice at this young age. You know, it just makes me want to ask. But anyway, price is firm. I will only accept cash. Call only. I have a telephone, not a handheld combination, television, movie theater, recording studio. It's connected to my kitchen wall, right next to the refrigerator. It's almond color, so you know how old I am. I am just as grumpy as you would imagine a person with an almond-colored landline phone would be, so don't let your little bitsy kids call me. I only deal with people who are old enough to drive here with a trailer. Thanks for reading. If you are a psycho looking for a rainbow unicorn, don't contact me, regardless of your age or ability to drive a horse trailer. Somebody... I can just see him yelling at kids, you know, get off my lawn. who's selling this horse.
Get off my lawn. I wish I had had that sound file ready, actually.
Get off my lawn.
I know exactly what that almond color phone looks like, too. We had that phone. Like 25 years ago. All right. The next one came from Marlene, and Marlene sent it in herself, and it's herself.
All right. Well, hold on. This one I have to do this one a special way. I'm trying to get it to play here.
Hello, this is Marlene Leuenberger from New Jersey, and I'm submitting this Facebook ad to Really Bad Ads. Horseware, Ireland, ! Rhino, Amigo sizes 63 to 84. This is from Connecticut. That small issue when you realize you may or may not have over 30 ... 40 ... 50 blankets to post for sale. Very minor. Details. Like seriously, it's not cats ... That's a good thing. So these are all Horseware Ireland. These are priced based on various factors. Brand, condition, day of the week, and how hungry I am. Hungry spelled hungry. Kidding. Shipping! It's the high, honey, so you weigh the box and measure it and put it in the USPS site, honey. It's so easy, and honey, I just shipped a saddle to my neighbor who lives upstairs, and it cost me $5, so a blanket should cost $4. I will block you and eat ice cream. Heart! Turnout sheets 14, meet MW18, HW25 is a rough estimate and isn't negotiable. If I ship a blanket to PA, it's 16. If I ship a blanket to CA, it's 25. Wombat's pizza, salted caramel chocolate, all extra. My list, for anyone still reading, 84 Amigo cooler, black, pink, $45. 84 Amigo turnout sheet, $45. 84 Amigo turnout sheet, $55. 84 Amigo MW needs repair, $45. 84 Rhino MW, $85. Rhino neck cover, $45. 81 Amigo stable sheet, $45. 81 Amigo heavyweight with neck cover, some issues, $120. 81 Amigo turnout sheet, $65. 81 Amigo turnout sheet, $35, needs strap. 81 heavyweight Amigo, $85. 78 Amigo Mio turnout sheet, $48. 75 100 gram liner, $45. 75 Amigo MW, $85. 69 Amigo turnout sheet, $45. 69 Amigo Wug medium weight, $85. 66 Amigo medium weight, $58. 66
oh my
Amigo
God.
Fly sheets, $55. 60.
It just goes on and on and on. And a lot of blankets.
Now, did you stop it?
Yeah, I stopped it.
I saw this ad, and I can't believe she's reading all of it. Because the funny part is the picture. So you got to push, restart, like, start
can,
it where it was.
I can start where it was. Here it go.
Three Rhino medium weight, $85. And that's it.
Apparently that's it.
What?
That was it.
Marlene, you left out the greatest part. The picture with the ad was a box, like a shipping box. And somebody had written in Sharpie, definitely not bees, like B-E-E-S, and then say, shake vigorously before opening. I loved it. All right. Well, the next one comes from Julia. Julia sent this one in. Project Horse Trailer will sell for $200 cash today. Only just needs a little work. Nothing major. Need gone ASAP. Gemma, do you have this photo?
I do not have the photo.
Oh, I was going to have you describe. Glenn, do you want to describe it?
Oh, yeah. It's your typical round-fronted convertible trailer that's made of rust and rotten wood with the tires that are sunk into the ground because you can't even see the bottom of the tire at all. And it looks like if you look very carefully out the back, they have laid planks down on the floor that could be your floor, but they stick out the back. So I'm not quite sure why that's happening. But, yep, it's your typical convertible, no top, no sides trailer that you're pretty much going to get 10 feet out of the driveway and the whole thing is going to collapse.
And it says it needs a little work, nothing major.
Nothing major.
There's no sides or top, and there's supposed to be a top because there's like metal bars. And so if your horse like reared up, it would kill itself. Like this needs more than something minor.
Yeah, something like tires and pretty much the whole thing. And if you notice, all of the joints are completely rusted through. That's why I said it's going to fall apart.
Yep. All right. We're going to rush through these because Glenn, we have a special surprise for you. Uh-oh. So, why don't you just do the next one and then we'll go to the dark web bad ads.
Oh no.
Okay. Yeah, dark web ad. Stay tuned. So we have one from Sydney Crate. It's tree and hedge trimmers. And Jamie, this is in Phoenix, Arizona. So you're be proud of what's going on in your
backyard. My people.
Yeah, your backyard. Yeah. So it's $150 now, only $100. So
on sale.
See if you can figure out, on sale. See if you can figure out what they're trying to sell. So we have two tree trimmers. Yes, they have horns, but are very friendly and will walk on a leash, albeit enthusiastically. They regularly get staked out for afternoon tree trimming, currently quite plump from their last unsanctioned assault on my husband's fruit trees, which is why they have got to go. If you pick up, you are also welcome to their playground equipment, spool and pallet table. So I'm assuming that they're goats, and they just need them gone right now. Just get them out of here. Get my mom.
Were they horses or goats?
Are they goats or cows? I couldn't tell. I don't know. That's a bad ad.
It was one of those Facebook ads where they're trying to disguise it, but they disguised it so well. I don't know whether they were horses or goats, or I don't know what they were.
I don't know.
Or actually tree trimmers. I don't know.
Now, before we go to the dark web, should we play the Casey and Scott submissions? Or?
Casey's I could not get to work, so we can play Scott. Aww. So
Casey, send it again.
Yeah, I don't know. It was messed up. I couldn't get it to work. So Scott, let's try his.
Hi, this is Scott from Lake Anna, Virginia. And today's bad ad comes from a public Facebook post in Clarksville, Michigan, shared to the auditor's page by Rachel and brought to my attention via an actual bat signal thrown up in the comments by Lindsay Pierce. It's about a rooster. He's a handsome-looking white roo. And the ad reads, free to good home. Well, any home, really. At this point, I don't give a what kind of home this inconsiderate jerk goes to. A-hole rooster. He's the perfect rooster if your alarm is broken and you need to be awake at 5:30 a.m. That's his only setting, 5:30. He has no snooze button, but will be quiet just long enough for you to fall back asleep, and then he'll start back up with his obnoxious cockadoodle doing right outside your windows. It's like he knows where you sleep and can zone in on that particular window, so maybe he has some sort of special x-ray vision where he can see sleeping people behind walls. He's also a perfect rooster if you want to start running around your yard. while you're trying to get away from him. He no longer goes after me, as he's also an instructor of interpretive dance. Or at least that's what I imagine it looked like as I went after him, flapping my arms, jumping up and down, kicking at him, yelling and screaming and swinging them up in his direction. So if you're looking for an alarm clock with the only setting being 5:30 a.m., a personal trainer, and a dance instructor, I have the perfect rooster that is able to fill all three of those positions for free. But you're coming out to catch this, a-hole. I want to see your first interpretive dance lesson.
Anybody that's owned a rooster can totally relate to that whole thing.
No comment.
I don't care how kind you are to animals. Anybody that's had a rooster has at one point or another done that dance chasing the damn rooster. I guarantee. Should I be concerned about the next part?
Okay, so what happened was Gemma made a small comment to me. Should I be practicing my Southern accent? And I was like, yeah, of course. But then I saw that there were no Southern accent ads in today's Really Bad Ads. So what I did was I went to the Georgia Craigslist and I selected three ads from Georgia. So you can do the first one. I'll do the second one. And then you can do the third one. And so these are legitimate Georgia ads. And I would like to point out that, Gemma, why don't you describe the photo on the first ad?
So it's of a mysterious creature that has no head. So the horse is like turning around to bite at a fly, but it's turned away from the camera, so you cannot see its head. And its legs are kind of in a dorky position too. So it's just really awkward looking.
It's a terrible photo. Like, and that was their photo of this horse. Was the horse is, it's like from the point of the shoulder and its whole head is around like biting at a fly on its belly. And that's the moment that they snapped it and took it and posted it. And it's, I don't understand why you would use that photo, but whatever. Maybe he's really ugly. Whatever. All right. So read the ad, Gemma, and your best Georgia, like, I think this one came out of Valdosta. So you take it.
Okay, I don't know. My Southern accent is kind of needs to work, but here we go. I got an American Quarter Horse that is 13 years old for sale, $1,000, the best offer. He ain't been ridden in about 2 years.
Hold on. Gemma, stop. Yes. I'm going to back you up because you need to take a big breath because there is zero punctuation.
Oh, dear. Yes.
That's why I gave it to you.
Thanks. Okay. I got an American Quarter Horse that is about 13 years old for sale, $1,000 the best offer. He ain't been ridden about 2 years, so it may be a little green, but he is a really good horse. I ain't got time for him, but we'd really like to see him go to somebody that does. If he's interested, contact me. Thank you very much.
Yes.
That was very good because I didn't understand a word of it. So.
Yeah, it's an American Quarter Horse, and she ain't got time for him, but we'd like to see him go to somebody that does. That's Valdosta, baby. I think this one that I got came out of northern Georgia, so like northwest Georgia. Here we go. Got a 12-year-old, 15 hand paint gelding I got in on trade. I was told he's a roping horse. I'm have to put weight on him, but he's coming along fine. He's been on several trail rides in traffic and does fine. Now, his issues is that he walks and he trots and he canters, but when he goes into the canter, he'll start bucking. But if you stay on him, he'll quit it. He loads and ties and fly sprays.
Wait a minute. Like, you can't go past. If you stay on him, he'll quit it.
He walks, trots, and canters, but when he goes in the canter, he'll start bucking. But if you stay on him, he'll quit it.
He'll quit it if you stay on long enough. You're not dead first.
It gets better. He loads and ties and fly sprays, takes his saddle and bit great, stands for the farrier fine. Good for kids. Call.
Oh, that's funny.
Why would you think it was good? Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, but it's a furrier. It's not a farrier. It's a furrier.
Oh, you're right. It's a furrier. This darn furrier and takes a bit good and stands for, it's great with kids. He just bucks a little bit. You just got to stick it. All right. And the final one came from Lookout Mountain, Georgia. And go ahead, Gemma. Let's see what magic there is in the last one.
Okay. It's the requisite poop ad. So we have fertilizer, aged bat guano, $7. Produced in the USA, Mexican-free bat guano organic fertilizer. You can use it for liquid applications. Use 1 tablespoon per gallon of water and let it brew for 24 to 48 hours, $7 per pound. Orders of 5 pounds or larger, $5 per pound. Local price only. Shipping costs apply for orders not picked up locally. Rick. Why would you be shipping? I just want to know, why would you be shipping bat guano? Can you, like, even send that in the mail? Is there some distinction against that?
I don't know, but I do love how it's fertilized aged bat guano. So they've chipped it away and then, like, pulled it aside and, like, let it age for a while. And it goes to say produced in the USA, Mexican-free.
Yeah, I didn't get the Mexican free. Are they American bats? Maybe no Mexican bats?
It's Mexican free. Bat guano organic fertilizer. Ain't no Mexicans in this fertilizer. There's no Mexicans in it. Oh, funny. Gemma, thank you so much for coming on and helping me with the ads. Is there anything that you would like to, any knowledge you would like to drop here on this show right now? We need some parting words.
He's a parting words.
I will say this. Gemma did our product review over on Stable Scoop this week. It's like Gemma week here on the Horse Radio Network.
Yes, my face is plastered all over the billboard. The internet
round. And on that note, thank you, Gemma.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
If you guys want to take over really bad ads, just send me an email.
Yeah. We'll get it done. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a terrific weekend. We'll be back here again on Monday. Oh, what?
You're in trouble.
What did I do?
Jennifer says you didn't do the ovation ad.
Oh, we didn't do the ovation ad. Sorry about that ovation. I didn't mean it.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
See, we technically did the Ovation ad on Wednesday when we talked about all the Ovation products you get at Horse Lovers for next to nothing. Jeez.
True.
Yeah.
True. See, yeah, it's Jennifer, don't put him on the couch. He was planning ahead.
I was planning ahead. I was thinking about that on Wednesday, what I was supposed to do on Friday, and that would be the first time in my life that ever happened. So
okay.
Thank you.
By the way, I did get some requests and I totally forgot to tell everybody how to teach their horse to smile. So I will do that. I promise. I haven't forgotten. Well, I did forget, but I've re-remembered that I told you guys would do that.
Aren't you leaving this weekend?
Oh my God. I got to check in for my flight in like 10 minutes. Yes, I am going to Flag Is Up Farms tomorrow morning. Yeah. So Monty's doing Horse Sense for Healing this weekend, which is where he works with veterans. So I'm volunteering. I'm going to like pick up poop, you know, and get horse. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm volunteering. And then next week is Monty's special training, which is my favorite clinic that they do. for the entire year, because it's watching Monty work with problem horses and kind of getting how to solve it. I'm so excited. I'll tell you guys all about it when I'm there. I'm going to do my show from there. So,
all right, so you'll still be here coming to us live from Flag Is Up Farm.
Yay! I'm so excited. It's like going to summer camp. I'm leaving the kids.
Let's be honest too. You're leaving the husband and the kid at home.
Yeah, my dad is on his way on Sunday, and he's going to take the kids. So Chad's going to be home alone. So Glenn, don't you cause any trouble.
It's good to know.
You better feed everything.
I can send him some ideas. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have delivery. I'm going to call from here and have delivery sent to the house. Okay, he'd like a steak dinner with baked potato, bacon bits on top. And then the next night, I'll send him a meat lover's pizza.
Yeah. You should do that. He had grilled tofu last night and he liked it. He was like, this is actually really good. It was grilled sriracha tofu. Oh, yummy. A grilled tofu and couscous and broccoli. Mm-hmm. It was a really, really lovely dinner. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh God, Glenn would hate this.
He posted it last night in the auditor page. There were a lot of comments. So now, which days is he home? He's home over the weekend?
Listen, he's gone. He's out of town.
There's nothing. I am so sending him a meat lover's pizza.
Don't you do it.
I am doing it. I am sending him the largest meat lover's pizza they sell. Maybe I'll send one every night. It'll be so sick.
No, don't you do it.
See everybody.
Spay, neuter, and geld. Have a good weekend. Bye.